Rosie TV.
How did so many people find out about my birthday? Ooh, you folks are crafty. I know I said at one point it was in October, but yesterday, boy, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. You all made my day. Thank you very much for your love and your birthday wishes. I appreciate you so much. Thank you. That was tricky. I didn't see that one coming. I had a great day, and much of it was due to you, my family. So thank you very much. Today, October 9th, is John Lennon's birthday. So in honor and in memory of John Lennon, give peace a chance. Now, everyone's concerned about me with the hurricane. And I want to remind everyone that I'm on the East Coast, and the hurricane is in the Gulf of Mexico. And so it's going to make landfall on the West Coast of Florida. So they're going to get the storm surge, and it's happening maybe today as I speak. I don't know. Maybe late October 9th, Wednesday. But certainly pray for the people there. We could get rain. We're not going to get any storm surge here because, again, the hurricane is not hitting us directly. But we may get some outer bands and some rain. But don't worry, because I have friends in high places. No, I'm not talking about God and Christ right now. I'm talking about I have friends literally in high places, like higher up, high ground. So that if water comes in via rain, it's not going to come via the ocean. It'll come via rain. I can get to an altitude that will keep me high and dry. So thank you very much for your concern, really. But the people you need to be concerned for mainly are over there in the Tampa, St. Pete, Port Charlotte, Fort Myers, Englewood, Punta Gorda, maybe. Those are the people that are going to get hit hard. So, yeah, I can't wait for all this stuff to end. I mean, it's all people say, are these killer hurricanes a sign of the end? Well, killer hurricanes have been going on, but everything now is a sign of the end. Everything. There's nothing that's not a sign of the end times, because that's where we are. So we're going to see weird stuff in every category of every department of life. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. On Monday, I talked about the ignorance of the Jews, because I was just quoting Paul. I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm pro-scripture. And here in chapter 10 of Romans, remember, I remind you, Paul said, "Indeed, brethren, the delight of my heart and my petition to God for their sake," that is, for the sake of his brethren according to flesh, "is for salvation." So at the time he's writing this, he doesn't consider the Jewish people to be saved. Why? Well, verse 2, "For I'm testifying to them that they have a zeal of God, but not in accord with recognition." They don't know who God is. "For they, being ignorant," there we are, ignorant of the righteousness of God, "and seeking to establish their own righteousness, were not subjected to the righteousness of God." They, being ignorant of the righteousness of God. Ignorance. Ignorance. And you know me, I expose the ignorance of the religious people, as Paul exposed the ignorance of the Jewish people. Christians are massively ignorant. And because they are ignorant, in this case, Romans 10:3, ignorant of the righteousness of God, they do not have salvation. But I don't know how many times people have said to me, Martin, these people, they just don't know. In other words, like they're ignorant. Yes, Martin, they're ignorant, they don't know. And they come across like it's not their fault, Martin, that they're ignorant. They just haven't been told, they don't have the mental capacity, or for whatever reason they're self-righteous. You can't blame them for being ignorant. Well, no, I don't blame them. I blame Satan. I blame Satan. And I know what you're going to do. You're going to go behind that and say, well, you just have to blame God ultimately. Yes, you certainly do. But let me quote our apostle in another place on the great topic of ignorance. I am in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Now, if our evangel is covered, it is covered in those who are perishing, in whom the God of this eon, small g, speaking of Satan, the God of this eon, blinds the apprehensions. If you ever needed a definition of ignorance, here it is, a blinded apprehension. The God of this eon blinds the apprehensions of who? Are you ready for this? Of the unbelieving. This is a parallel passage to Romans 10. In Romans 10, speaking of the Jews. In 2 Corinthians 4, speaking of the nations. But there's one common denominator, and that is ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. It is deadly. People will go to aeonian death because of ignorance. And you cannot say, well, they're just ignorant, because ignorance is deadly. And Paul does not take the absolute viewpoint here in 2 Corinthians 4:4, so I'm not going to either. If you have a problem with this, take it up with Paul. Take it up with Paul. Paul says, the God of this eon, small g, blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving. Yes, it's Satan that's doing that. But Martin, God's beyond. You don't think Paul knows that? But Paul does not mention it here, because we need to deal with the intermediate causes. And the intermediate cause is that we have an enemy afoot who is blinding the apprehensions of who? Again, the unbelieving. So they're not just ignorant. They're being made ignorant by Satan, by twisting scripture, by teaching for truth the traditions of humans rather than the truth of God. And this is the information war we are in. And if we misplace the absolute viewpoint and say, well, it's all of God, God's doing this ultimately, then we're just going to be complacent and sit around. And I know many people who just take the absolute viewpoint and they say, well, why is Martin getting so upset? Now, why don't you ask why Paul is getting so upset? He's not getting upset, really. He's just announcing the truth. He says, Satan's doing this. And I'm telling you, there are so many of my friends even who are so stuck on the absolute viewpoint at the wrong time. I mean, the absolute viewpoint is critical. Of course, that all is of God's critical. But it's at the wrong time. When you're in the battle of the evangel, and when you're in this information war, you have to know thine enemy. And our enemy is the God of this eon, Satan. He's the one blinding the apprehensions. Tell Paul that God's behind it ultimately. Tell Paul that. Don't you think he knows that? But again, the absolute viewpoint misplaced is disastrous. Martin, should I kill my wife? I really don't like her. Well, whatever you do is of God. You really want to take the absolute viewpoint at a time like that? Martin, my son just died in an automobile accident. Well, God did it. That's misplaced absolute truth. Martin, these people are ignorant. They don't understand the truth. Well, God's making them stupid. That's absolute truth misplaced. Absolute truth doesn't stop being absolute truth, but it's misplaced. In whom the God of this eon blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving, so that the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them. Fact, our evangel is covered. Fact, those who don't understand our evangel are perishing. Fact, they are perishing because they're ignorant. Fact, Satan is making them ignorant by driving them into churches where they hear the traditions of humans instead of the truth of God. Fact, those who are in churches and ignorant because of the wiles, the stratagems of Satan are unbelievers. Fact, unbelievers are perishing. It's all here in two verses, verses 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians 4. It's all there. And it is corroborated in Romans 10. Same thing, only it's with the Jews. Let's go back there now that we've been saturated in 2 Corinthians 4. I am testifying to them, they have a zeal of God, but not in accord with recognition, for they being ignorant of the righteousness of God. They're ignorant of the righteousness of God. And the result of that is that they're not saved. 2 Corinthians 4. Those of a blinded apprehension, there's another name for those people. They're called unbelievers. And they're unbelievers because the enemy has blinded their apprehensions, has confused them. A blinded apprehension could also be said to be a confused apprehension. Ignorance, confusion, and I've heard that as an excuse. They're just confused, Martin. Don't be so hard on these people. They're just confused. But like the Rolling Stones saying concerning Satan, confusing you is the nature of my game. Sympathy for the devil. The Rolling Stones. Confusing you is the nature of my game. Wow, did Mick Jagger read 2 Corinthians 4:4? The God of this eon blinds the apprehension of the unbelieving. They're just confused, Martin. Confusion is deadly. Babel means confusion. Satan's coin of the realm is confusion. He trades in confusion. That's his thing. That's why I'm here every day trying to sort everything out to unconfuse it. The truth is simple. What's complicated is untangling the lies that have a stranglehold on the truth. That's the hard part. Mine, this truth is so complicated. It's not, madam. It's when you hear me trying to pull the tentacles of the lies of tradition off the truth. That's what seems complicated. The adversary, our enemy, has been working overtime to blind people's apprehensions and to confuse them concerning the truth. They're not just confused. They're confused because of a diabolical plan of our adversary. The result is the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them. Don't you think if God wanted to, he could? I mean, listen to this. The illumination of the evangel, our evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them. In other words, the truth of God is out there. We know it is, and it applies to people whether they believe it or not, but they can't apprehend it because they're confused about it because they go to church and they hear contradictory teachings, and they're like sheep without a shepherd, as Jesus would call it and did call it in his day. And God could irradiate them. That's the word used here. It's a great word, to make glow. God does not. The image, the evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them, even though it could. But God's playing this game. I mean, it's all part of the setup. God uses the adversary, and we recognize the adversary where Scripture recognizes the adversary. And the adversary is being recognized here as the source, not the absolute source, but recognized here as the intermediate source. And again, if you go to the absolute viewpoint at the wrong time, you're worthless as an evangelist, as a helper of a friend. Should I murder my wife? Well, all's of God. How would it have been if when that Philippian jailer says to Paul, "What must I be doing to be being saved?" And Paul had said, "Well, you can't do anything. Unless God acts upon you." Oh, well, shit, I'll just go about my business until God acts upon me. That's what I would have said if I was a jailer. Didn't mean this to be a lesson on that, but this is why we herald. This is why teaching is important. This is why knowledge is important. Because the opposite of ignorance is knowledge. We're in an information war, and it is a war of knowledge. Satan's war is against knowledge. Our war is for knowledge, but in order to promote knowledge, we have to untangle the lies and free those of the blind apprehension. Now let's talk about knowledge, because the remedy of ignorance is knowledge. Now we're going to see our blessings in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 4. Paul says, I'm thanking my God always concerning you over the grace of God, which is being given you in Christ Jesus. This is the grace of God that does irradiate us. And God chose us to be pulled out of the web of lies of Satan. He chose us to open our eyes, to unblind us so that we do apprehend the evangel of the glory of God. That's why Paul says, I'm thanking my God always. Here's a great place for the absolute viewpoint. He's not thanking the saints. He's thanking God over the grace of God which is being given you in Christ Jesus. For in everything you are enriched in him, in all expression and all knowledge. It's knowledge. Try telling that to a Pentecostal. They're into feelings, they're into emotions, they're into excitement, they're into adrenaline. Some of them act like they're into cocaine, heroin. Oh, they're crazy people. No, we don't need any of that. We don't want any of that. It leads nowhere. It just leads to confusion. It's Babel. The Tower of Babel. The word Babel, look it up. It means confusion. Babylon is the home of confusion. That's where God confused the language. There was one language on the earth at one time. And they tried to build a tower to unify. And God said, I don't want humanity unified. And so suddenly people couldn't understand each other. Husband says to the wife, let's have pizza for lunch. And she hears, let's have pizza for lunch. Caused a great argument in that household. All over the earth, arguments were started. That's confusion. That's Babylon. We are about knowledge. So Paul says, in everything you are enriched in him in all expression and knowledge, according as the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not deficient in any grace, awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm always, wasn't even planning on it, but I'm finding another passage about this snatching away. Awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the unveiling of the book of Revelation. This is the unveiling of Christ from heaven. He's when he unveils himself to us. Unveiling is a generic word. It all depends on the context. In this context, are we awaiting the tribulation? Are we awaiting the unveiling of Jesus Christ as spelled out for us by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation? No, we're awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is when he appears with the voice of the chief messenger and the trumpet of God. He calls us up to be with them, awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, capital W, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be confirming you. This word confirm, it's the Greek word babao. It's to make something definite, to tell someone that something has happened or will happen. So it is Christ who will be confirming us in our knowledge of him and our knowledge of what is about to happen with us. Let me read the definition of confirm again, the Greek word babao, to make something definite, to tell someone that something has happened, the crucifixion of Christ, or will happen, the snatching away. He will be confirming us also until the consummation. Okay, consummation is also a generic word. You have to look at the context. Could be the consummation of lunch. Could be the consummation of the eons, depending on the context. Here, the consummation is the ends of this reign of death for us. He will be confirming us until the consummation, that is right up until our last breath of mortality. He will be confirming us in knowledge, who will be confirming you also until the consummation. In other words, there is not one breath you will take up to the snatching away when Christ will not be making things definite to you. And this is my job. This is my calling, to make the scriptures, to make these promises of God in the scriptures definite to you. To tell someone that something has happened or will happen. We're always talking about what has happened. You were crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago. You were saved by Christ 2,000 years ago. You were justified by Christ 2,000 years ago. Constantly confirming that, telling you that this is definite. This happened. This happened. And Christ is doing it, but he uses human instruments. So he's using me and others to do this for you, who will be confirming you. It's Christ doing it. Will be confirming you also until the consummation. Until the consummation of this life of mortality. Because look what we're doing. What are we doing while this knowledge is being confirmed? We're awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be confirming you also until the consummation, unimpeachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That day is the snatching away day. Again, you say the day of our Lord. This is not the day of the Lord, because we're not looking forward to that. We're not looking for the tribulation. We're looking for deliverance. And the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, once again, you got to be very careful with the language. It's very specific here. This is the day of our snatching away. You have to look at context with all these words. Consummation, unveiling, day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unimpeachable. Here's a Greek word for you. Are you ready for this one? Anagliton. Anagliton. So it's a three-part Greek word. The first letter A is not, it's un, that is the negative. And the rest of it, I guess the middle part, that part is in. And the last part, gleton, it's called. Three English words, three English elements of this megaton Greek word, and it's un-in-called. Yeah, first thing I thought of when I looked that up in the Concordant Dictionary in the back was getting called into the office. Un-in-called. We're not going to be called into the office, but you're getting called in. You know, you're scared to go to the principal's office. I always went to the principal's office, especially in grade school. Always going to the principal's office. Senator, get down to the principal's office. Called into the office. Oh, he's got called in. Uh-oh, they're calling him in. That's a bad thing, right? So unimpeachable means you're not being called in. Nobody's calling you in to second guess or to second guess your behavior or to call into question anything about you. You're not being called in. Unimpeachable means that you can't be convicted of anything. You can't even really rightly be accused of anything. And you can't even be called into the office so that they can accuse you or indict you or convict you of anything. They can't, because we're unimpeachable. And he will be confirming you. This is knowledge, folks. He will be confirming you also until the consummation. That is the consummation of our freaking death-doomed life down here. Unimpeachable, even in the middle of this trauma, this tragedy, this sadness that we go through every day, we're unimpeachable. I don't care what your mood is. I don't care what you've done today. You're unimpeachable because he is the one confirming you. And Paul says, you're not deficient in any grace. And we have to remind each other all the time. That's another one of my jobs, to remind you that you're not deficient in any grace. Grace of God is just overwhelming you like it did to Paul. The grace of God has just overwhelmed me. Verse 9, I'm going to do a couple more verses here, and then I got to go. Faithful is God, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is all in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Isn't this great? Faithful is God, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I am entreating you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all may be saying the same thing. Yeah, this is actually in the Bible. Paul wants everybody to be saying the same thing. That's ideal. He wants that bad. I want it badly. I want us all to be believing the same thing and be saying the same thing, that there may be no schisms among you, but you may be attuned to the same mind, Christ, and to the same opinion. Oh, that sounds pretty rigorous. That sounds pretty almost communistic. You want everybody to have the same thing, to say the same thing, to believe the same thing? Yes, I do. That's what Paul's praying for here. Paul's entreating you. And this has to do with knowledge again, which is anti-ignorance, anti-confusion. This is knowledge, folks. We're into facts about God and about us. We're into things that have happened and things that will happen. And these things are being made definite to us because Christ is confirming us. And we are not deficient in any grace. And faithful is God, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's faithful. God is faithful to be doing all this. And so my prayer for us is to realize how serious ignorance is. Ignorance equals unbelief. Ignorance equals aeonian death. Ignorance equals perishing. People aren't just ignorant. They're victims of a gigantic diabolical plot to keep people from being in the body of Christ. And apart from Christ pulling people out of that plot, the majority of the human race is locked in it. They're locked into stubbornness. We know that's the absolute viewpoint there. God locks up altogether in stubbornness, but he uses Satan as the intermediary, and Paul recognizes Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and we have been miraculously delivered out of that ignorance and out of that confusion into knowledge. I don't want you to underplay either the ignorance or knowledge. Ignorance is being used by Satan to take down our friends and loved ones. Ignorance and confusion, it's deadly. Ignorance is not bliss, it's deadly. But he's using knowledge to bring us a confirmation of who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus.